Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this lovely morning. Just have a little bit of news today. My friend and a big-time contributor to this broadcast, Evangelist Sandra Shannon, has lost her son. Her oldest son has gone to be with the Lord. And so I ask all of you to please keep our sister in Christ in your prayers and in your thoughts, that all is well. But we, as men and women of God, know that absent from this earthly body, but it is just a shell, is in the presence of the Lord. And we know that her son, Richard, is in the presence of the Lord. So please keep her in your prayers, keep her in your thoughts, and send her love through the atmosphere, and ask God to continue watching over her family. Heavenly Father God, we come to you with humble hearts, Lord, lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up Evangelist Shannon and her family, God, asking you to watch over them, asking you to keep them, asking you to give them everything they need and more than they could ever ask for. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, we are asking you, God, that all things work together for her good, that you, God, give her purpose, and that you let her know, God, that you have her covered and you have her family covered. In the name of Jesus, we lift up this word, God, asking you as we do every day, to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you, Lord God, are our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name that we pray, believing and trusting that all things work for our good, because we trust and believe in you. And we have faith, Lord, mustard seed faith, that all will be well in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. This is our Psalm and Proverb in New Testament Sunday, and we are getting ready to go into the Word of God. And we are thanking God again for being who he is, awesome and mighty, great and gracious, loving and kind, and just being a wonderful, wonderful Father who loves his children. All we can say is thank you. We praise you, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Thanking God again and asking you again to please keep our family in prayer. Watch over our sister in Christ. Give her strength, all the saints of God, to lift up our wonderful sister, Evangelist Shannon, and her family. We thank God for you, and we're about to get into this beautiful, wonderful word this morning. And our word today is coming out of the 40th Psalm, starting at verse 13. And we will be going to verse number, okay, chapter 40, verse number 13 through chapter 42, verse number 5. And our proverb is Proverbs chapter 13 at verse 13 and ending at verse 18. And we will be coming out of Luke chapter 8. In chapter 9, verse 17. And we ask the Lord to add a blessing to the hearer and the reader of his word this morning. And the word of God says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backwards and brought to dishonor, who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. That's a word for someone today. God hears you, and he will bless you, and he knows what you're going through. Blessed is he who considers the poor. 41st Psalm, verse 1. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it, and all who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, and evil disease they say clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heels against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and rise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my iniquity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. Who's in charge of your life? We give it over to God. And it says, to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. Now, this is a son of Korah song. And it says, as the deer, and I love this song. The 42nd Psalm is one of my favorites. And it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. We give it to God. We give it all to God. And we know that our Father God will never leave us. We know that our Father God will never forsake us. We know that our Father God loves us immeasurably and that he is always with us. As the deer pants by the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul pants for the Lord God, because I know he made me. And he, as the song says, he made me who I am. I'm a conqueror. I am victorious. I won't be stopped. Hallelujah. I won't be stopped. We won't be stopped, and we won't give up, because we know who our Father is. The 41st Psalm, verse 9, Dr. Stanley gives us a life lesson. My own family, familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heels against me. Jesus applied this verse to Judas Iscariot as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy in John 13:8. Just because someone says, Lord, Lord, does not mean they have a genuine relationship with God. Matthew 7:21. We got to understand that everything that glitters ain't gold. And everybody that says they're your friend are not always there for you when you need them the most. We got to pray. But we got to ask God, God, show me who is real and who is not. God's going to show up and show out. He's going to show us who are genuine and who are not. We got to trust God. And when we go into our Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13, it says, he who despises the word will be destroyed. And our title for today is the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And it says one more time, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Who are we trusting? Who are we putting our hope in? Who are we praying to? Who are we giving it up? Give up our, and as we continue to good understanding gains favor. But the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. And we see that played out every day on television. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings help. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Hallelujah. And as we go into our New Testament word, which is where our title is coming from, the seed is the word of God. And we understand that the word of God is Jesus. John told us in his word in John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And as Jesus gave this parable, the Word of God, where are we planted today? What have we planted today? And it tells us in Luke 8, starting in verse 1, now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Come on now. And in the word of God, it says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Understand, did it say Mary, who was called Magdalene, was a prostitute? It does not say that. It says she had 7 demons that he took out. Folks have vilified Mary, talked about Mary, just like they do other people, just like they've done me, just like I'm sure they've done you. Folks will talk about you, lie on you, say all kind of mad up things about you. But I tell you this, we go by the word of God, which is the seed. And it said that she had seven demons that he had taken out. Okay? And she was wealthy. She was a supporter. She gave him what he needed. She was also one of his disciples. Her book got taken out. Her book has been hidden. But she was a mighty powerful woman. Because if you stop and think, did Jesus appear to Peter first? Did Jesus appear to John first? No. Did Jesus appear to James first? No. Those were his aces, Peter, James, and John. But he did not appear to them first. When he was a risen Savior, who did he appear to first? Mary Magdalene. That's who he appeared to first. Who spread the word that he was alive first? Mary Magdalene. And what did Peter and John do? Did they believe her? No, they had to run to the tomb to see for themselves. Jesus appeared to Mary first, will let you know that she was important. She was important to the word. She was important to the gospel. She was important, and she was a benefactor of the Savior. And it tells us also that Joanna, the wife of Chazal, that Herod Stewart and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke but a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ear to hear, let them hear." Then what does this parable mean? And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Can I say it again? The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, get all excited, join church. These have no root, who believe for a while. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard, come on now, heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, and those who enter may see the light. But nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. And we know that he said, peace be still. Hallelujah. The other gospel said, peace be still. And the waters obey. We got to have a peace be still in our spirit, knowing that God is God of covers, that he loves us so much that he will never give us more than we can handle. He will never give us more than we can bear. Hallelujah. God is good. And yes, I am getting filled up because this word touches my heart, because we know that our God, our Savior, we know that the word of God can calm the raging seas of our spirits, of our hearts, and of our minds. And the question is, do we have faith today? Do we have that mustard seed faith that all is going to work out for our good, that God has got us covered? And as we go into the Bible, it says this, that the world would know him, Luke 8:16. It says this, again, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. And we know that Jesus is also the light, and he is the light of this world. And it says these three questions are eternally significant. Who is God? What is he like? Can we know him? And we're going to come back to this after we finish our scripture this morning. God just put that in my spirit because that's the end of the lesson that I need to give you that. And it says this in Luke 8:26. Then they sailed to the country of Gennesaret, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tomb. In other words, Jesus was confronted by a man who was naked. He was naked as a jaybird, as they would say, where I grew up. He was naked and lived in the tomb, meaning he lived in the graveyard. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. But he had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains, shackled, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out and the men and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Can I say it again? Clothed and in his right mind. One more time for the Father. He was clothed and in his right mind. They also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them. But they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. As the song says, I am a witness that it was Jesus. There's no doubt, nobody but the Lord. I have an assurance way down in my soul, and I dare not ask who it was. Hallelujah. I am a witness that it was Jesus, that the word of God. Hallelujah. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. And he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And we know in some words it says she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with whom said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. She didn't have to wait for this diagnosis or this test. She was healed immediately by touching the hem of his garment. With faith, she said, I know if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed of this infirmity. And as a woman, we know what she was going through. 12 years, you know she had to have had anemia. She had to have been pale. She had to have been a little weak. She might have been in some pain. We don't know, but we know she had mega faith. She had mustard seed faith that if I just plant this seed, that the word that I touch, that it will grow and I will be healed. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, said, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all out outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Jesus paid it all. On the cross, he gave his life, but he gave us life, and he gave us life more abundantly. He gave this little girl her life back. He gave these parents their daughter back. He gave this woman with an issue of blood her life back. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Then has cast the crimson stain. He made it white as snow. We got to know who our Savior is. He is the seed, and the seed is the word of God. Then he called chapter 9 of Luke, his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bags, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." So they departed and went through the town, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and that some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, "John, I am beheaded, but who is this whom I hear such things?" So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethesda. But when the multitude knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions. For we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." But there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50." And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Don't tell me what our God cannot do. Don't tell me that Jesus cannot make provisions for us. We know that whatever we need, he will provide it. I believe there's a song that says, whatever you need, God's got it. And we got to know that he's got it. And as we go then back into our word, in Luke chapter 8, verses 2 to 3, it says, certain women provided for him from their substance. Luke came from a culture that largely dismissed or at least downplayed the importance of women, yet he often highlights the contributions of women in the ministry of Jesus. He thus anticipates the message of Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I got a few more life lessons, but I have this, what the Bible says about the world, that the world would know him. And we know that he is the word. The seed is the word of God. And it says these three questions are eternally significant. Who is God? What is he like? Can we know him? The world is filled with religion that claim to give the answers to these questions. However, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the truth. God is our Father. He is loving, and he is most certainly knowledgeable through relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is why you are told in Luke 8:16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sits it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. You have come to know the light of the world, Jesus Christ. You cannot hide that you know him. Rather, you must allow his light to shine through you so that they can also have his light, so they can offer the salvation he offers. This is what God wants most for your life, that you would come to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you would daily grow in your walk with him, that you would live out the plan he has for your life, and that you would tell others about the great gift of salvation. The desire of God's heart is that all people would know him, as 1 Timothy 2:3-4 tells us, God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ died for the sins of everyone in this world, and he desires that everyone be rescued from the grip of sin. God's provision of forgiveness of sin and of eternal life in heaven is offered to every person on earth. God didn't create anyone to be lost for all eternity, 2 Peter 3:9. Though some will choose to be lost through their own stubborn will, John 3:17-18. For this reason, he sends us to every corner of the earth to share the gospel. As we put this word into the atmosphere, we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, planted that seed into this world. He nurtured his seed, and at 33, he died to rise again, just like, if you notice, plants may die in the winter time, but come spring, they rise up again. They reawaken, just like we must awaken to the love of God, knowing who we are and what we are. We are his sons and we are his daughters. And it tells us this, before Jesus left the earth to sit at the right hand of the Father, he left us with a powerful commandment, Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We call the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commission. Are you making disciples today? Are you doing what you are called to do? Are you preaching? If you're called to teach, are you teaching? If you're called to be the pastor, are you shepherding your flock? If you're called to evangelize, are you getting out of the four walls and evangelizing? What are you doing? Are you following the calling that God has given you? God will enable and empower each of us to witness for him through his Holy Spirit. Then we have the incredible opportunity to tell others about the desire of God's heart, that they would know him and grow in him. So don't hide the light that is in you. Share it with this lost world that needs it so desperately. Tell them who God is, what he is like, and how we can know him truly. Those will be the best questions you answer all day. Hallelujah. We know Jesus, and he knows us. He knows all about us. He knows our name. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows what we are going through. Luke 8 and 53 tells us they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. As a physician, Luke wanted his audience to know that the child Jesus healed was really and truly dead. One day, Jesus will destroy death altogether. 1 Corinthians 15 and 21. But even before then, he showed his mastery over it. Death has no sting because Jesus is in charge, and he loved his sisters. He loved his brothers. He loved us all. And in Proverbs 13 and 18, it told us poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. We got to learn to take correction. Jesus wants us to know that he is a corrector. But when we don't believe, he has a nice little ride for our behinds. I'm just going to say it. Our daddy God don't play. Our daddy God don't play. He does not play with us because he wants us saved. He wants us set free. He wants us to be in his presence. And it tells us, and Dr. Stanley says, that we all need correction at many points along life's journey, but not all of us graciously and willingly accept the correction we need. We need correction to keep us off the wrong path that leads us to the wrong direction. God wants to correct us today. I know there's some correction he is doing in my life, and all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the correction. Because I know that I need it. Luke 9 and 13, give them something to eat. The Lord would never command us, come on now, to do something without also providing whatever we need to obey his command. In this case, he commands things impossible. But he provided what he told them to give. All I got is these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 little fish. How am I going to feed over 5,000 people? The disciples are looking at him. I'm sure they was looking at him like he was some kind of crazy. How are we going to do this? How are we going to feed all these people? And Jesus said, separate them, put them in the groups of 50. And not only did they feed over 5,000 folks, 5,000 men, plus we know there were women and children in the midst. So it could have been we don't know how many. But we know that 5,000 plus were fed with these 5 loaves of bread. And we know 5 is grace. And 2 is the Father and Son. God gave, the Father and the Son gave them grace and fed them with leftovers, y'all. With leftovers. Some say 12 baskets. It says 12 baskets of fragments. In other words, they had baskets of food left over after having only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Don't tell me what our Father cannot do. He can do all things but fail. Never forget who God is. Never forget that Jesus is the seed. He is the word, and we want to hold on to it. Hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to what he has for you. Whew. He loves us. And I have a couple of devotionals this morning to share with you. The first is, cannot be lost. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. Isaiah 40 and 4. From the NIV, mighty God, I have placed all my faith on you. I have sunk all my savings into knowing you. Don't let me down now. I am continually laying down my life before you as I seek to follow your ways. I know the road won't be straight and smooth. It certainly hasn't been up until now. But I also know that your love sustains me in ways I never imagined. It could level the rough places and make the jagged path into open spaces, just when it seemed like the storm is too much to bear. Speak peace and shine your light. Bring out all that was hidden. I will not give up no matter what may come. When I'm linked to you, you will keep me when the way is winding, never letting me be lost in your time. God, led me out into wherever I am. Let me be found in you. And it says, God, lead me, and I apologize, me out in peace. Wherever I am, let me be found in you. And the question was this: do you believe God is with you in your life right now? I believe it. I believe it. I know that I know he is with me right now. I get all emotional when I think about how good God is. Even when we go through, he brings us through it. Even when our heart is broken, he heals it. Hallelujah. I thank God for the sisters united in Christ. As I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see a child of God who is loved exponentially. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for a great women's conference that I attended with my pastor. And I can only say, wow, Minister Teresa Davis brought it. And she brought it, whew, with all power. She took us to the throne. She took us to grace. And I can't do nothing more than say, what a powerful woman of God. When she gave a testimony on how a doctor, a quote-unquote specialist, told her that she might need to have an abortion because the hormones were off kilter, that her came back, that there was too many different kinds of chromosomes, and that it just didn't look right when they looked at it on an x-ray, and it just something wasn't right. And you know what she did, right? She went to God. Her husband went to God. This was her change of life, what she thought, baby. And she said, I'm 38 years old. My husband is 46, and we're about to have another child. Okay, now she already had three kids now. Understand this? Already had three. And now she's about to have another one. And she's thinking, 38. She's getting a little too old. But then she said, I'm going to my gynecologist. And she said, I understood that they was in the same practice. But I was not going to listen to him when he going to tell me I needed to have an abortion. I don't believe that that's what God wanted for me. And I'm paraphrasing. And I'm going to tell you what she did. She went to her doctor. And the doctor said, let us do a sonogram. Come on now. We're not going to just look at the blood work. We're going to look at the sonogram. And when she looked at the sonogram, what did they find but twins? Look at God. And that's why the chromosomes were a little off. That's why it wasn't exactly what the doctor thought. It was twins. And when these babies came into the world, they came with some power. Her daughter is number one in her graduating class so far. May winds up being valedictorian. Her son just won $1,000 in an award for writing one of the best Martin Luther King essays we've ever had in the Ministerial Alliance. Don't tell me what God can't do. We got to understand. We trust God. And this is what the Word of God says. Renew my mind, Lord. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Ephesians 4:23, NLT. Spirit of God, I long for your river of life to rush through me. I am open to you. Come fill me with your love that washes away every fear and clears out every stuck part. Renew my mind today with your peace that clears the clutter of jumbled thoughts. You are the one I long for. I know that when you speak, you bring life. Where there have been thoughts of despair and hopelessness, replace them with hope that comes from you and the life you bring. I wait on you now, God. I will not rush on with my day until you meet with me here in this present moment. Renew my attitude so instead of dread, I will be filled with peace to face any situation. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. Do the work that only you can do. You are more than welcome to shift everything that stands against you and your kingdom within me. Here I am. Have your way. And to say what thought and attitudes reflect, say this morning. Think on it. Reflect on it. And ask God, Lord, have your way. Have your way in me, God. Let me be a light that's not hidden under a bushel. Let me be the seed planted on good ground that your word will flourish in me. And as I send it into the atmosphere, that someone will be saved. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning. This word has filled me up. And I can only say thank you, Lord. For God is just so good. He is so wonderful. He is so mighty. He is our everlasting, the everlasting. He is God. And as Sister Carolyn gave us a word on yesterday, I pray that there be peace within you, that you trust God. You are exactly where you are meant to be, and that you remember the endless possibilities that are reached through faith. And she told us to have a Saturday. And I can tell you, I had a super Saturday. Ooh, from the time I woke up and danced with God. Hallelujah. There is nothing like dancing for God. And I can't think of nothing more than to tell Sister Terry Witt, thank you for teaching us that we got to go and view the city. We got to put our walking shoes on. We got to shout and we got to sing. For God is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. Trust God today. Let him know that you love him. Because I tell you this, no matter what you're going through, just know that God loves you. And he loves you more than anything. Keep trusting in him. Keep believing in him. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Don't let any negative words spoken make you feel some kind of way, because you are covered by the blood of Jesus. You are covered by the light of this world, our planet, because the word has been watered and you are his seed and you are growing. Grow, my sons and daughters, is what God put in my spirit. Grow. My daughter, because I am with you and I will never leave you. Keep trusting God today. I can't help myself. I'm filled up because I know that Jesus is the way and how God will do it. Sister Carolyn just sent her word for this morning. And it says this, God's presence will cause you to prosper in every area of your life. Take time today to get in his presence. Have a blessed Sunday. And I thank you all that joined me this morning for taking time to get into the presence of God, for taking time to hear the word of God, for taking time to know that you are never alone. And that the light of the world, whose name is Jesus, is shining upon you. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your mighty word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for taking us to the throne with you. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the seed, God. He is the Word. And we know that in the beginning, the Word was with you. The Word is you. The Word is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this Word that has been planted today. Lord, continue helping us to water it, to water it to fruition, to be a big old plant, to be a big old mustard seed tree, to be everything we need to be, God. We ask you to continue leading and guiding. Lord God, I ask you again, please cover my sister. I consider her my sister, cover our family, God. I'm claiming familyship. I'm claiming that familiar seed. Cover my sister, God, and her family. Cover us all, God, as we grieve the loss of a loved one, but to also rejoice, knowing that they are in your presence. And how do we know this? Because your word told us so. And we trust in your word. We trust in you, Jesus. We have faith. Mustard seed faith that all is well. Because we love you, God. And we know you love us more. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the Heavenly Father's name and in the name of our natural Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray over all of you and yours. Those that I believe, my cousins, my family, my sister, God knows best. I thank God for all of you. And I ask God to cover you from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet, knowing that you are loved by God more than anything. He loves you. Have a blessed day, family. Keep trusting God and knowing that all is going to work out and that it will be well with you. Have a blessed day, family. God bless you. God keep you. God let his light shine upon you and give you grace and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And family, I got to get ready for church. And I say to you, it's a wrap. Have a blessed day.